this message is actually the title of the chapter, of the first chapter of the book, and that is, You Are a Masterpiece. If you've been around James River and the Sisterhood for any length of time, you know I am passionate about what I'm going to speak on this morning. I truly believe that the message that you're going to hear today, when it gets into the heart, your heart or the heart of any girl, and she understands God's purposeful design and intentional creation of her body, her mind, her personality, it changes the way she does life. Now, it's not like a one-time magic. You hear the message and you are completely free of insecurity. I would love to say it works like that. But it's a purposeful choice to believe that what you hear is truth every day. Some mornings I wake up and I have to remind myself, even at 54, maybe more so at 54, because those wrinkles are coming out, the boobs, or even the fake boobs drop. I don't know how that happens. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I don't have real boobs anymore because I had a double mastectomy. They are better than they were. But sorry, guys. Okay. I have to choose to believe God's word. Amen? You have to choose to believe the truth of God's word. It doesn't just happen, it's a choice. There's a verse of scripture in Ephesians 1:13. It says It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, found yourself home free. What does that mean? I think in part it means home free from the lies, set free from the lies of the enemy. So there's some days I have to wake up and listen and saturate my mind fresh and anew with the truth to be set free on that day from the lies that I start thinking about. Okay, so it's a daily choice. So this morning we're going to talk specifically about what you believe about your creation. And so I want to take you first of all to Ephesians 1:4 in the message. I want you to look at this because the first point is you were planned for. You were planned for. It does not matter if somebody said over you that you were an accident. And some of you heard that every day as you were home in your younger years. You heard your mom say you were an accident. We all know what that means. It maybe wasn't intentional to make you feel insecure about your life. Maybe it was just your mother speaking about how she felt about the situation of your conception, because it wasn't expected. Brandon and Savannah were unexpected. If you've read the first chapter of the book, you heard the story about that. Brandon was 6 months old. David was 15. David was our oldest, 15 months old. Brandon was 6 months old. He was a surprise. Then 6 months, or pardon me, yeah, 6 months later, after Brandon was born, Savannah was in my tummy. And I was like, no! God, both of them are in diapers. What are you doing? I'm like, she's not planned. And God's like, oh, yes, she is. I planned her. From the beginning of time, the Word of God says, before the foundations of the earth, long before, Ephesians 1:4, write that in your notes, that verse. Long before God laid down the earth's foundations, he had you in mind. had settled on you as the focus of his love. You were not an accident. You were not an accident. God knew you were going to be born. He planned for you to be born, and he was excited about you being born. Whether anybody else was or not, God was. God was. Listen to Jeremiah 1:5. It says this, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before. God purposed for you to be on the planet today. Psalms 139:15. You watched me being formed. You saw me before I was born. God planned your birth. You say, Debbie, what about those tragic situations of rape or situations that aren't godly? God still planned for that baby. That baby's still a beautiful creation of his. Whether there was evil involved or not. And you're like, Debbie, how does that work? I don't know. I don't know. I know that sin corrupted God's plan. But I know that that baby was planned and designed by him. And has a purpose. Okay? I want to read you a portion out of the book now, because I thought I cannot articulate this well. I don't know if I did even in the pages of the book, but I think it's so cool to hear. So indulge me for a minute as I read. I say, let's talk about sex for a minute. Woo, okay. There are two kinds of sperm. You're like, oh my goodness, Debbie. Whoa. Listen to this, though. It's pretty amazing. There are two kinds of sperm that every male produces and emits during sex. They are called X and Y. If an X sperm fertilizes the mother's egg, a baby girl is conceived. If a Y sperm fertilizes the mother's egg, a baby boy is conceived. Now, here's why that's important. During sex, listen, an average of 100 million sperm enter the woman's body. 100 million baby bakers. And, well, I won't go there. Okay. And as they are designed to do, each one starts competing to make it to the prize first. The one egg tucked up inside the mother's-to-be's body. When you were conceived, are you with me? You're like, oh, Debbie, you're talking about sex. Yes, we are. Okay. When you were conceived, one of those itsy-bitsy tiny sperm from your father's body had to survive and swim for 10 hours to find that one egg. When your mother was born, okay, this is important, her ovaries already contained a lifetime supply of eggs. Millions and millions of little potential life makers in waiting, each one the size of a tiny grain of salt. On the day you were conceived, out of the millions of eggs inside your mother's body, just one was waiting there for that sperm to connect with it, that one sperm. The one egg, like the sperm, possessed a unique combination of 23 chromosomes, and when it connected with that one in a million sperm, together they made a brand new human being, and that was you. What are the odds? I mean, think about it. God wanted you here. It's not an accident. It's intentionally planned by the Creator that you were made at that moment in time and that you exist today. Number two, you were beautifully and intentionally designed. So you're not only planned for, you were intentionally designed, put together. I love this. Psalms 139:13. It says this. The psalmist is saying this about God. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you. The psalmist is praising God. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. God designed every single tiny detail of your body, intentionally designed it. No part of your body is an accident. Satan did not have any part of creating you. He can't create. When you grasp that, it changes the way you think about yourself. God, the master artist. John surprised me last night. He came home from, I was home first, and he came home, and he was putzing in the laundry room. I'm like, what are you doing? He said, oh, I've just got something I need to do in here. And I was in the kitchen cooking. And he came out a few minutes later with a vase of roses. I know. He's amazing. Sam's roses. But Sam's roses are God's roses. The girls at Sam's actually know him now because that's where he gets flowers for me when he does, and he does it quite often. But as I was sitting there looking at them, every time he gets flowers, I love flowers, and every time he gets me flowers, I'm just mesmerized by them. They're so beautiful. God made those for me. John just picked them up, but God made them. You know, and I'm like, God made you, excuse me, for me. What a gift. We're made for each other. And I am so glad. Savannah and I were talking about this. I am so glad that he intentionally designed each and every one of us uniquely. We were like, God could have done it. We were talking last night. He could have done it any way he wanted to. But he loves to create. He loves variety. We could have all had dark hair, all of us. We could have all looked, honestly, we could have looked exactly the same and just had a number on our forehead. God could have done it however he wanted to. He's like, I like variety. I want to make each girl different because that's going to bring me joy. It's going to be so much fun. He likes what he created in you. He likes the outside of you. He likes your face, your nose, your thighs, your boobs, your toes, every part. He created them, and he was like, this is so good. If you read in Genesis, let's see, I got to go. I've jumped ahead in my message here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I don't know if the guys can keep track of me here, but if they do, it'll be on the screen. Oh, you guys are amazing. So God created human beings. God created you. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Intentionally designed to represent our Creator very intricately and perfectly. Listen to this. This is so interesting. And these are only three components of our body that are so amazing. The human foot. Look down at your foot. It's incredible. You do not have ugly toes. I don't care what you think. You don't. God does not call them ugly. He thinks they're cool. He doesn't mind that they curl up like this. He likes that. Your human foot consists of 26 bones, 33 joints, 107 ligaments, and 19 muscles and tendons. Your foot or your feet together make up 25% of all the bones in your body. Intricately designed. And they hold up all of your weight. It's amazing. The body is so incredible. Listen to the human brain about what it says about that. Your brain contains billions of nerve cells arranged in patterns that coordinate thought, emotion, behavior, movement, sensation. A complicated highway system of nerves connects your brain to the rest of your body, so communication can occur in a split second. Incredible. God did that. The human heart, according to Dr. Harab, a Christian scientist, a believer, he extrapolates, it says, on the complexity of the human circulatory system and how its intricacies indicate a grand designer, as well as how it is unlikely that random circulation is responsible for the heart and the circulatory system. It's not random. Just didn't know, poof, there she is, poof. Oh, God created you intentionally. Listen, the heart pumps blood involuntarily. Amazing. No cognitive thought is required. Are you sitting there thinking, okay, pump heart, pump heart, pump heart, pump heart? We'd get nothing done. The average adult heart beats 72 times a minute and 100,000 times a day, 3,600,000 times a year, and 2.5 billion times in a lifetime, and you didn't even have to think about it once. A woman's heart, just had to add this, Savannah found this statistic, woman's heart beats faster than a man's by nearly 8 beats per second. Ha! We beat them, okay. The heart weighs only 11 ounces. It pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels every day, feeding 75 trillion cells. Amazing. This is the last statistic. A kitchen faucet would need to be turned on full blast for 45 years to equal the amount of blood pumped through the body in a lifetime. Amazing. That's just your heart. Okay, your body design is worthy of honor. Your body design is worthy of honor. This is where it gets convicting, girls. When you tear down your body, you're dishonoring the Creator. It's not that we praise our body. Oh, that body's so cool, so awesome. My body rocks. In a prideful way, it's that we give glory to God for what He created in us to give Him honor. You know, I actually called to have Evelyn draw me a picture, but she has the flu. Evelyn's our granddaughter, she's 6. And I wanted her to draw me a picture. And so that I could show it to you today, because she loves to draw. And if I would have pulled it out, I was not going to look at it until I had it in hand here today. I was going to pull it out and show it to you. Do you know, I would treasure that picture, because she would have put her heart and soul into creating it. I could tell you this, I wouldn't have ripped it up. I would have wanted to protect it and display it as a representation of how amazing I think she is. But you know what we do to the master artist? When we look at our bodies in the mirror and we tear them down, or when we talk about our bodies or someone else's body in a way that is dishonoring to the one who created it, we dishonor Him. You know, when you talk about an artist and maybe a painting like a Monet, the more it's talked about and the more it's like, oh, that's so cool, what happens to the value? Goes up. In the eyes of those that don't know about it. So you talk about it, it's like, oh. Now, here's the deal. Your body has great worth. You cannot, by your words, lessen the worth of your body or your being by your words. But you lessen the honor that you give to God by your words. And honestly, you dishonor the girls around you. Because if you tear yourself down, you're comparing yourself And then we start comparing ourselves to everybody, don't we? And then who lives up to what? That's why it's so detrimental to sisterhood and to honoring one another. So if you grasp this, it changes the way you think, not only about yourself, but about God and His creation. You don't look at people the same. You look at them through the eyes of the Creator. It's like, oh my goodness, she's amazing. When you wake up in the morning, you look, God, thank you. Because what it does is it changes how you do life. You don't do life thinking about your inadequacies or thinking you are inadequate. You do life knowing that God has created you to be enough for what He's called you to do. You walk into a room thinking confidently because of Christ being in you. You don't walk in, I'm not worthy of being here. You walk in, I'm worthy of being here because God made me and He appointed me to be here for this time and this purpose, for a purpose, and I'm enough. You guys are so beautiful. I seriously mean that. We need to say that to one another because it honors God. Annie, I want you to go find a girl in the audience because I want a girl to unveil this art piece that I have up here. And some of you are like, I know what it is, but you don't know for sure. Actually, you do not know what it is. Nobody knows what it is yet. But this creation was made by an artist that John and I know very well. And it is stunning. And I am so thankful that I have it in my possession. And it is very, very valuable because of who created this art piece. And so I'm going to have Lori. I want you to stand in front of it and unveil this art piece. It is so valuable that I cannot believe that John and I even have it in our possession because it's incredibly valuable. And we're honored to own it. So can you unveil it for me? Lori, can you look in it? Please? This is really hard to do.
It is hard. I'm in workout clothes.
She says, I'm in workout clothes. Like that changes her value. Lori, I happen to know Lori pretty well. I want you to look in that mirror and say, wow, God, you made this. It's beautiful. It's really hard to do. First of all, the enemy doesn't want us to believe it. He wants us to feel insecure about saying it. And that it's prideful. Now, we all know that there's situations where girls struggle with pride. But I'm telling you, it's about 1.5%. Most girls, the enemy has told them a lie and they've bought into it. They believe their worth is less because of how they view their looks. Can you do it, Lori?
Tell me again what I was supposed to say. I praise you, God, for my body. It's beautiful.
Woo! Good girl. You know, that's hard to do. You know what I challenge girls to do? I challenge myself. You're going to think this is so weird. Stand in front of a full-length mirror naked and thank God for your body. You're laughing because you're you're like, really, Debbie? You honor God when you do that. Do you know it? That's what the psalmist is saying. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single part of my body was designed intentionally, knit together, like really tiny details knit together. Your eyes, your nose, your ears, your toes, purposefully by God. It's worthy of honor. Psalm 139:14 says, I thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Then 139:14, farther in that verse, it says, your workmanship, God, your detail about his body, the psalmist's body, your detail is marvelous. How well I know it. He's like, I believe it, God. I know it, and I'm going to praise you for it. Next, we have the DNA. Next, we have the DNA of our creators. Just jot that down. You're designed by the creator, and you have the D. You're in the image of God. You have the DNA of the creator in you. You just think about that for a second. I mean, it's a powerful thought. Then number three, you are one of a kind. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. And the worship team can come up, and maybe somebody could take the mirror and move it down to the lower floor. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You're uniquely created on purpose and for a purpose. We're going to talk next week more about giftings and talents, but the talents that God's instilled in you were purposefully instilled in you by him. You weren't supposed to be gifted with the things the girl next to you is gifted with. You weren't supposed to be bodily built like the girl sitting next to you. She is not designed prettier than you. No matter what you've thought, no matter what you've been told, if it's contrary to the word of God, it's not true. I want to show you a picture. I happened to come across it, and I thought it was so powerful. Look at that. Is that not the coolest? You know, when God created you, you can leave that up for a second. When God created you, he was so excited to present you to the world. That's just, to me, it's such an incredible picture, thought of God going, here she is. I'm so excited. The world's getting a beauty, boy. And then lastly, and I'm going to go through this last point quickly. Your name is significant and important to God. When we had Savannah, John and I could not decide on a name. And I think it's funny. We went 3 days without naming her. And I think it's funny when I study about the name and how important our name is to God. Whether you like your name or not, God likes your name. In fact, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You just see the hand of God writing, Deborah Joy Lindell. Whew, it's powerful. God knew Savannah's name even though John and I didn't know it. God loves our name. Isaiah 49:1, listen to me, all you in distant lands, pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth from within the womb. He called me by name, Sarah, Mary, Becky. So powerful. And he knows your name today. Whether you know him personally or not, he knows you. It says in Isaiah 43:1, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says this, do not be afraid. I love this. I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. John 10:3 says this, the sheep That's us who are followers of Jesus. Know his voice and come to him. And he calls every one of his sheep by name and leads them. And then finally, Revelation 21:27. This is talking about heaven. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to stand with me as we close this morning. The last design, Sisterhood Morning. There was a girl in the audience, and I didn't know her. And a week or two after that morning, I received a letter in the mail, and it was from her. And long story short, she's in a desperate place. She was working for a business that was doing illegal things. And I don't know if she's here this morning. I'm not going to call her out, but if she is, I want these words to encourage her. She shared with me in the letter that she had been convicted of a crime because of being a part of that business. She'll be going to prison in a couple weeks for 2 years. She was here. And when I called girls to come to the altar to receive Christ, she said she ran down to receive Jesus, to recommit her life to him and follow him. I have the privilege of meeting with her tomorrow and praying with her before service tomorrow night. But what I love about that story is God knew her name, God knows her name, and God was whispering her name, calling her to himself. She responded, and now her name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. And whether she is going to listen to this message, maybe on the podcast later, or she's here today, I thought of you this morning, sweet girl, and I thought about Joseph going to prison and how the Lord said, or actually Joseph said about what he knew, how he viewed his situation. What Satan meant for evil, God purposed for good. God is going to use you to touch the lives of people in that prison. We're going to be praying for you, sweet girl.